The Teaching Saints Virtual Summit was an incredible success. We had thousands of individuals tune in from around the world to hear from people like Brad Wilcox, Hank Smith, Casey Griffiths, Marie Eckersley, Jason Hewlett, Jeff Burke, and more as they taught us about how to better stimulate classroom discussion, create effective classroom environments, best practices with object lessons, and so much more. If you missed the summit, be sure to visit leadinglds.org/teach to watch the three most viewed sessions from the online conference. It will not only change you, but it will change those you teach. Check out the Teaching Saints Virtual Summit today. Leading LDS is a nonprofit organization dedicated to enhancing leadership ability and capacity of lay leaders in order to accelerate the mission of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Leading LDS is not owned nor operated by the LDS Church, and any opinions expressed on this podcast do not reflect the views of any specific organization. All donations given to Leading LDS are tax deductible and go towards the support of Leading LDS. For more information, visit leadinglds.org. Hello, this is Kurt Frankum, the host of the Leading LDS podcast. I welcome you back. It is primary program season. Yay! Well, I know many of you are looking forward to this season of the church in the fall when primaries around the world put their programs together and we get to listen to those sweet spirits stand at that lectern and share their simple testimonies. But for many primary presidencies, this could be a nightmare, not to mention the music leader as well in the primary who has a lot of work in these coming weeks as they prepare for the primary program. So I wanted to add to our series of podcasts that I call the WeWick series, What I Wish I Knew, where we talk about various callings and perspectives with a specific question, or what I wish I knew before I was bishop, what I wish I knew before I was Relief Society president. And in this episode, it is what I wish I knew before I planned a primary program. And we talk with six different individuals who most of them have been primary presidents or are currently serving as a primary president. And we even included a guy, not because he's been a primary president, but because he's been the music leader in primary and has some good input from his perspective as a music leader as well. Now, before we jump into some of those tips, I want to encourage you, if you feel like you have an interesting perspective or a helpful perspective as it relates to primary programs, it is your duty to share this perspective because there are primary presidencies around the world that need to hear it and are trying to reinvent the wheel over and over again when in reality, they gain from your experience. And so to do that, you go to the show notes of this episode or find the post on leadinglds.org that's related to this episode. And there's directions on how you can submit a 5-minute or less recording about what you wish you knew before you planned a primary program. So please share this episode with any primary presidency or music leader that you know, and they will be blessed because of it. We'll start off with Rachel Davis, who I actually interviewed on a How I Lead episode back in January of 2018, and then we'll go from there.
What I wish I knew before I did a primary program is that there is no difference between a good primary program and a bad primary program. And it sounds a little bit like absurd to say that, but the truth is, at the end of the day, the kids are going to get up to the microphone and they're going to share something wonderful. And if they're singing loud and they are able to be heard on the microphone, it's going to be a wonderful program. And that is, knowing that and really believing that has really taken a ton of pressure off putting a program together and then enjoying it. And then the other thing I want to share, because I just started doing it this year and it's my very favorite thing ever, is part of the program I include is I have one kid from each class share something they learned in their classroom and their teacher, from their teacher and their teacher's name. So I'll have the kids say, you know, my name is Jane. My teacher is Sister Nielsen. Sister Nielsen taught me about tithing. She brought money into the classroom and I know about tithing because of Sister Nielsen. And I just think, I truly believe that the most meaningful teaching that takes place in primary takes place in the primary classroom. And it's such a good way to highlight that in front of the whole ward in a way that's a little bit more public and to really publicize your teachers and get them out there and get their names out there for all the great work they're doing. So I started doing that and it was a huge part of our program and a huge hit. And I want everyone to start doing it because I think it's so great for the primary teachers.
Hi, my name's Kim Overdeek. I'm from West Valley City, Utah. And today I'm going to tell you what I wish I knew before organizing a primary program. I served in a ward primary presidency for 6 years, with four of those being the primary president. And currently I've been serving as our state primary president. So the first thing I would say would be to plan early. Start in January thinking about the things you want to do, especially as the kids give talks in primary or tell stories during sharing time or singing time. Write down those things that they say that are going to match with a theme that falls into one of the months from the sharing time outline. That way, when time comes, you can say, oh, remember when so-and-so talked about the Holy Ghost? We could ask them to give that talk again. And maybe even ask their parents if you can get a copy of the talk so that you have that to save for when the program comes around. I also have done putting together the speaking parts in another way. I've asked the kids, brought the kids out by classes and asked them different questions pertaining to one of the month's themes. Like for the sunbeams, I would ask them something like, how do you know Heavenly Father loves you? And you get fun little things like, because he gave me a brother, or because I have a fun mom and dad, different things like that. And then for the older kids, you can ask questions like, what is a way you can serve your parents in your home? Or how did you feel when you were baptized? Try to make the questions so that they have to give a little bit of explanation versus a yes or no. And then that way the kids are getting up there, they're saying exactly what they feel, and they don't even really have to write anything out, which is really awesome. Also, include your teachers. Let them know that they're important. I always ask my teachers to sit up on the stand with the kids and to sing the songs. They don't stand up when the kids sing, but they get to sit. And there have been times in the past where I've actually had them maybe introduce the theme for each month before their class would come up and give a talk. Another thing I would say to do is make sure, as you're planning out your seating chart for the program, make sure you have strong singers on both sides of the stage, stand, whatever it's called. That way you get the strong singers from both ends and it kind of makes it seem louder. And don't feel like this primary program has to be a Mormon Tabernacle Choir performance. Let the kids teach the things they've learned by their sweet, sweet spirits. And don't be afraid when you practice the Saturday before and it seems like everything's falling apart and nothing goes right. I can testify to you that I have felt that feeling every single time I've done a primary program. And Sunday morning rolls around and it's a miracle. Those kids do such a wonderful job and the spirit is there so strong. So don't be scared if you feel like things aren't working the way they're supposed to. Heavenly Father will make sure that they work the way that they're supposed to. Another thing I would recommend is to involve your music leader in your initial planning. So maybe at the beginning of the year, sit down with him or her and get their insights into what sort of songs they think the children should sing as part of the primary program. Because they're going to have some great ideas that you might not have thought of that they would like to include in there. And the last thing I would say is to give them speaking parts they can remember. So don't make them a long, drawn-out story, unless they're reading from the scriptures, and maybe some of the older kids. But let them feel like they've accomplished something when they get up there and they can say their part word for word without having to look at something. Let their eyes just look out into the congregation and show the love that they have for the things they're learning. Thank you.
My name is Janae Davis. I live in Los Angeles, California. And what I wish I knew before organizing a primary program is to get the primary program on the calendar as soon as possible. It eliminates potential scheduling conflicts later on in the year, and it gives you an end date to work towards too. And it helps you plan your schedule for the year. Use the children's talks to write the program. You know, you get at least two, and depending on the size of your ward, a week. And, you know, have your secretary take notes, because when it comes time to write the program, the kids have done it for you. And we used to write our program about a month before, not in a month before, 2 months before. And we always plan for something shorter rather than something longer, because it's always easy to stretch something shorter. And we did notice that if it's too long, you know, it's a little too much for the kids. And we want to make sure that the program is enjoyable as possible for everyone. You know, and throughout the year, you notice the kids who like to sing and who don't like to sing, and who like to talk and who don't like to talk, because that's important when you come to planning the program and handing out parts. And, you know, and so a child who doesn't like to or doesn't feel comfortable talking in primary is probably not going to feel comfortable talking in the chapel, and needs to know that it's okay if they don't feel comfortable talking in the chapel. You know, there should be no pressure to speak. And we just need to be sensitive to that. You know, We had two boys in our primary. One had, or they both had Tourette's, and one was so comfortable speaking and really loved to be in the center of the attention. And the other one had a lot more tics, was not comfortable and didn't like being on the stand where everybody can see his tics. And, you know, we told him it was okay for him to sit in the congregation with his parents. And while you're noticing who likes to sing and you want a special musical number, focus on those kids because they're going to enjoy it. And don't, you know, ask a whole class to, you know, sing one of the musical numbers if half of them don't feel comfortable singing. And always, you know, always ask if they want to do it. If you're thinking a class, always ask the kids. It's really important to do that, you know, and to talk to their parents too. And this sounds totally crazy, but practice less. We had one year where we only practiced one Sunday before and then one Saturday before. And it was probably the best primary program we ever had. And I think, you know, practicing too much is not necessarily a good thing. It's different. It kind of disrupts the schedule of church. You know, they're used to going to class and then to primary, and they can kind of become rambunctious, you know. And so that one year we decided we were going to practice the Sunday before and then the Saturday before. And it was perfect. Like, everything went just fine. And it forced us to plan better, so we knew where everybody was sitting. And so when they came in, they knew exactly where to go, and it wasn't chaotic. And I think having that helped it be a better program.
My name is Gayla Perkins, and I'm from Syracuse, Utah. What I wish I knew before organizing a primary program is that things always seem to work out. That is something that we've found consistently over the last few years of planning and preparing programs as a presidency, and that things always do seem to work out. The day of the program, things might not go always exactly as we planned, but nevertheless, they do seem to work out. And the day of the program always seems to go much better than the practices do. So I've been happy to learn that, because some of our practices have not been the greatest. But again, things always do seem to work out. I have learned over the years also to respect that a very powerful spirit can help accompany us and our efforts with the program. And as a presidency, we've really learned to appreciate that, because we know that it can enhance our efforts and help make up for any inadequacies that we might fill in our callings. So we have really felt that as a presidency and appreciate that as well. Something else I've learned over the years is to really try during the program to look out and enjoy the faces of the people in the congregation, the parents and the grandparents and the others, who you can just see the delight radiating from them as they watch their kids and their grandkids. And that's a really fun part of the program. It'll probably be our last program that we do together this year. And we really enjoy that part of it. It helps us. It makes the effort and preparation for the program worth it, I think. And also, of course, what else makes the effort and preparation for the program worth it is the many fruits that can come from the program for the children, including giving them experience in front of a large congregation and having them experience the rewards that can come from working hard to accomplish something. And also, those of us who grew up in the church know that those songs that they learn will stay with them. And of course, so many blessings can come from that. But the program I have learned to love and appreciate, and wish everyone the best in their plans.
Hey, it's Kurt again. I just have to cut in here and let you know this next person coming up has a personal connection to me. You know, on the Leading LDS website, I've interviewed my parents, I've interviewed my oldest brother, and of course, I've been on the podcast over and over and over again. But this next person is Angie Haney, who used to be Angie Frankham. It's my sister. And I want to be sure we recognize that Angie finally made it onto the Leading LDS podcast. And actually, she's helped out quite a bit behind the scenes. She's been a donor for years and years, supporting her little brother. And also, she writes up a lot of the summaries for the Leading LDS podcast. So shout out to her. But so here's my sister, Angie, with some very wise counsel.
My name is Angie Haney, and I'm from Riverton, Utah. What I wish I knew before planning a primary program is make it in the kids' words. After preparing many primary programs, I found that parents and everyone wants to hear things how the kids would say it. So we prepare questions several months ahead before we're planning the program and ask the kids to answer those questions. We ask those questions according to the themes of the month, and each class has its own question or its own set of questions. And we ask them, and then we write the program with their answers and put it in order with the themes that go along with the songs. Everyone loves to hear the kids' words, and sometimes you get something comical too. I think it's very important that you make sure they're appropriate also before you give them to the parents. Something else that has been good is to invite inactive children to participate in the primary program. Several times we have had inactive children who don't come to church, if at all, want to participate, and it gets their families there, even grandparents there, and they have an experience, and I hope they'll remember. Another set of things that are more of the logistics is I think it's very important that you know where those children are standing. My oldest son, his very first primary program was very exciting for us. His parents and his grandparents came, and the whole time he was standing behind the piano and we couldn't see him at all except when he came to the microphone. So the primary program practice, I feel like, is very important for that reason, that you can take them into the sacrament meeting room and put them on the stand, and you can notice, oh, this class, if they stand right there, they're covering up these other children. And with large primaries, it can be very difficult, but I think it's so important that those children are able to be seen by their parents and their loved ones. Another small logistical thing is that as you write the program, to notice the order the children are in their classes, because that's where they will be sitting. So in a class, if you put all the boys together, and those boys are rambunctious, they're going to be rambunctious the whole time during the sacrament meeting program, and they're going to be sitting there playing with each other. So one thing I found is to maybe stagger the kids as you're writing the program so they're not sitting next to people who they're going to be loud with. Another thing is when you write the primary program, to add those words to the songs in the program, not for the benefit of the children, but for the benefit of the teachers. So as they are on the stand, they can help sing, and they're familiar with the words. And if they forget them, they can help the kids also. Another small logistical thing, but important, I've noticed, is to make the margins when you print out the program, that if you're going to put it in a notebook for the teachers to look at, to follow along, that you make sure the margins are wide enough so that when you put them in your folder, that the words aren't covered up by the left margin. Something small, I know, but I feel like it's important so then you're not printing out the program several times. And the last thing and most important is don't stress. Everyone loves the kids. And I've never been to a primary program where someone says, wow, do you remember this? Or as they, no one judges the primary program because they just love the kids and they feel the spirit from the songs, and no one judges the primary presidency. They all just enjoy the primary program. So at the end of the day, don't stress too much. Once it's written, once it's going, just sit back and enjoy. Everyone loves the primary program.
Hi, my name is Ryan Cotton. I'm from Houston, Texas. And I wanted to share with you what I wish I knew before organizing a primary program. Specifically, what I wish I knew before organizing the music within a primary program. I came into my role as a primary music leader with just 2 months to spare before we put on our primary program. And unfortunately, we ran into some situations with Hurricane Harvey, causing some delays in our ability to practice the program and meet on Sundays. And so the first thing that I wish I knew was what was required of me. I inherited the program. It was a very zealous approach with more musical numbers and musical pieces than really what was required within the handbook. And it really put a strain on us trying to prepare. Everything came off beautifully. The children did a great job, but I wish I would have known what was required before that time. Another thing that I wish I knew was the talents of the children and their needs and these special needs within them. Again, as I came in with just a little time to prepare, I was really forced to do what was already set in place. And it wasn't really necessarily tailored to some of the strengths of the children and their, that those talents I didn't know. So I wish I would have known them and could have adjusted better. And I knew going into the next year, their talents better and could really tailor the program to their talents and to their needs. The other thing I wish I knew was to not reinvent the wheel. It took a lot of the organizing of the program of the music upon myself and didn't realize there were a lot of other resources out there to help kind of ease the burden of feeling pressure to really get a perfect program together. It's been done before. There are great resources out there to support organizing the primary program in a manner that can be tailored to fit your, the needs of your primary. And that kind of leads to the thing that the last thing that I wish I knew before organizing the primary music was to not carry the load on your own. Again, there are past primary presidents that have done this before, and presidencies that have done before, previous music leaders who have done it before, as well as the War Council has as great resource and inspiration to provide input to the program that could be best with the ward needs. They also may know, again, some additional needs of the families or the individuals that you're planning to participate in the program. So these are all some things that I wish I would have known before assisting or organizing the primary program and music within the primary program, and hopefully could be of a benefit to you as you prepare your primary program.
There you have it. What I wish I knew before I organized a primary program. I hope those were helpful. Good luck to you. The primary presidencies out there listening, we're praying for you. And again, I think the overarching message and regular input was, regardless of how well everybody performs, people will love it. And so just take that on, knowing that people are going to love it regardless of how good or if there's any mess ups, they're going to love it. Now, again, if you have some input or if there's some things that you wish you knew before you planned a primary program, I implore you to go to leadinglds.org, find the show notes or posts that are related to this episode, and there's just some simple directions of how you can record your What I Wish I Knew Before I Organized a Primary Program, which is needed. And you just hit a button there and record, and then it sends it to me, and then we'll include this on the next part that we do in the future, maybe next year, when primary program season comes around once again. And don't forget, visit leadinglds.org/teach to check out the three most viewed sessions from the recent Teaching Saints Virtual Summit. Until next time, be a leader and not a calling.
It came as a result of the position of leadership which was imposed upon us by the God of heaven, who brought forth a restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the declaration was made concerning the only true and living church upon the face of the earth, we were immediately put in a position of loneliness, the loneliness of leadership, from which we cannot shrink nor run away, and to which we must face up with boldness and courage and ability.